Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasad Gurudev Shri Mani Bhaktivedanta Swamini Chidamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paschatare Shakarane. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Vishnu Vata, chapter 14, verse 1. Shri Parikshita Vata,
Shri Parikshita Vata,
Rajasthama Svabhavasya,
Rajasthama Svabhavasya,
Brahma Vritasya Papmana,
Brahma Vritasya Papmana,
Narayane Bhagavati,
Narayane Bhagavati,
Tamasi Dhrda Mati.
Tamasi Dhrda Mati. Shri Parikshit Vaja.
Shri Parikshit Vaja.
Rajasthama Svabhavasya.
Rajasthama Svabhavasya.
Brahman Vrittasya Papmanah.
Brahman Vrittasya Papmanah.
Narayane Bhavati.
Narayane Bhavati.
Tamasi Dhrda Mati.
Tamasi Dhrda Mati.
King Parikshit inquired, Araja, mode of passion, Kama, mode of ignorance, Svabhavasya, having nature, Brahman, O learned Brahmana, Vritasya, Avritasura, Patmana, who was supposedly sinful, Narayane, in Lord Narayana, Bhagavati, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Katam, Asit, was there, Dridha, very strong, Mati, consciousness. Translation, King Parikshit inquired from Supade Goswami, O learned Brahmana, demons are generally sinful, being obsessed with the modes of passion, ignorance. How then could Vritrasura have attained such exalted love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana? Report in this material what everyone has possessed, obsessed with the modes of passion, ignorance. However, unless one conquers these modes and comes to the platform of goodness, there's no chance of one becoming a pure devotee. This is affirmed by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful reactions are frequently eradicated, and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in our service with determination. Since Vritrasura was among the demons, Maharaj Parikshit wondered how it was possible for him to have become such an exalted devotee. He had two demigods situated in mode of goodness and great saints cleansed of the dirt and material enjoyment. Hardly ever rendered pure devotional service to the lotus feet of Mukunda. Therefore, how could Vrijasura become such a great devotee? Next three, in this material world, there are so many living entities, there are as many living entities as atoms. Among these living entities, a very few are human beings, and among them, few are interested in following religious principles. O best of the Brahmanas, Sukadev Goswami, out of many persons who follow religious principles, only a few desire liberation from the material world. On many thousands who desire liberation, one may actually achieve liberation, giving up material attachment to society, friendship, love, country, home, wife, and children. And among many thousands of such liberated persons, one who can understand the true meaning of liberation is very rare. Wherefore, there are four classes of men, namely Karmis, Gyanis, Yogis, and Bhaktas. This statement pertains especially to Karmis and Gyanis. The Karmi tries to be happy within the material world by changing from one body to another. His objective is bodily comfort either in this planet or in another. When such a person becomes a Gyani, however, he aspires for liberation from material bondage. Among many such devotees who aspire for liberation, one may actually be liberated during his lifetime. Such a person gives up his attachment for society, friendship, love, country, family, wife, and children. Among many such persons who are in the vanaprastha stage, one may understand the value of becoming a sannyasi, completely accepting the renounced order of life. Text 5, O great sage, among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayana or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. Purport, Śrīla Bhīṣma Chakravarti gives the following purport to this verse. Simply desiring mukti or liberation is insufficient. One must become effectually liberated. When one understands the utility of the materialistic way of life, one becomes advanced in knowledge and therefore he situates himself in the vanaprastha order unattached to family, wife, and children. One should then further progress to the platform of sannyas, the actual renounced order, never to fall down again and be afflicted by materialistic life. Even though one desires to be liberated, this does not mean he is liberated. Only rarely is someone liberated. Indeed, although many men take sannyas to become liberated, because of their imperfections, they again become attached to women, material activities, social welfare work, and so on. Gyanis, yogis, and karmis devoid of devotional service are called offenders. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mayavadi Krishna Aparadi, one who thinks that everything is Maya instead of thinking everything is Krishna is called Aparadi, an offender. Although the Mayavadis and persons are offenders at the lotus feet of Krishna, they may nonetheless be counted among the siddhas, those who have realized the self. They may be considered nearer to spiritual perfection because at least they have realized what spiritual life is. If such a person becomes Narayana Parayana, the devotee of Lord Narayana, he's better than a Jiva Mukta, one who is liberated or perfect. This requires higher intelligence. There are two kinds of Gyanis. One is inclined to devotional service and the other to impersonal realization. Impersonals generally undergo great endeavor for no tangible benefit, and therefore it is said that they are husking paddy that has no grain. The other class of Gyanis, whose Gyanis mixed with bhakti, are also of two kinds, those who are devoted to the so-called false form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and those who understand the Supreme Personality of God is Satchitananda Vigraha, the actual spiritual form. The Mayavadi devotees worship Narayana or Vishnu with the idea that Vishnu is accepted a form of Maya, and the ultimate truth is actually impersonal. The pure devotee, however, never thinks that Vishnu has accepted a body of Maya. Instead, he knows perfectly well that the original absolute truth is the Supreme Person. Such a devotee is actually situated in knowledge. He never merges with Brahman, as stated in Bhagavatam. O Lord, the intelligence of those who think themselves liberated but who have no devotion is impure. Even though they rise to the highest point of liberation by dint of severe penances and austerities, they are sure to fall down again into material existence, for they do not take shelter of the lotus feet. Evidence of the same point is also given in Bhagavad Gita. Fools drive you when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. When rascals see that Krishna acts like exactly like a human being. They deride the transcendental form of the Lord because they do not know the Parambhava, his transcendental form and activities. Such persons are described in Bhagavad Gita as follows. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demoniac and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes of liberation, their fruit of activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Such persons do not know that Krishna's body is not material. There is no distinction between Krishna's body and the soul, but because less intelligent men see Krishna as a human being, they deride him. I cannot imagine how persons like Krishna could be the origin of everything. Such persons are described as mokasha, baffled in their hopes. Whatever they desire for their future will be baffled. Even if they apparently engage in devotional service, they are described as mokasha because they ultimately desire to merge into the Brahmana cultures. Those who aspire to be elevated to the heavenly planets by devotional service will also be frustrated because this is not the result of devotional service. However, they are also given a chance to engage in devotional service and be purified. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is Paramatma in everyone's heart and benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Unless the dirt within the core of one's heart is cleansed away, one cannot become a pure devotee. Therefore, the word Sudurlabha is used in this verse. Not only among hundreds and thousands, but among millions of perfectly liberated souls, a pure devotee is hardly ever found. Thus, the words Kotishu Api are used here. Srila Madhvacharya also gives the following quotations from Tantra Bhagavatam. There are 90 million demigods and 70 million sages who are called Narayana, devotees of Lord Narayana. Among them, only a few are called Narayana. The difference between the Siddhas and the Narayana Prayanas is that direct devotees are called Narayana Prayana, whereas those who perform various types of mystic yoga are called Siddhas. So this is an explanation of Chichaketu's situation. Here Parikshit inquires from Sukadeva Goswami, how is it possible that a so-called demon could be a great devotee? And then Parikshit himself begins to describe the rarity of devotional service. Very aptly he describes how there's millions of jivas in the material world and very few of those are human beings. Are the human beings, those that know Dharma are very, very few. Are those who know Dharma, those who actually go for liberation or desire liberation, is very rare. And those who achieve liberation are even rarer. And among those who surrender to the Supreme Lord are even rarer. So, this of course does not imply that the qualification to be a devotee is first to get liberated, but rather that the rarity of a devotee is very, very great. So, those who get liberated are rare, and those who become devotees are even rarer than people who become liberated. Not that we have to become liberated and then become a devotee. However, those who do achieve the perfection of devotion also become liberated, though that is not their goal. Those who desire liberation may get liberation, and that's the end for them. Those who surrender to the Supreme Lord on attaining perfection also become liberated, but they get more than that. So anyway, the point here is made by Parikshit that to become a devotee is something very, very rare. Sudurlabha, very rare. Which, because it is the highest process, would seem natural. so we can get more people who are doing karma yoga, less people doing jnana yoga or astanga yoga, and less people doing bhakti yoga, if bhakti yoga is the highest process. Just as we've seen all the children go to school and they go to what lower level and whatever. But then those who go to college are less than those who go to the regular elementary school. And those who get degrees and go on to PhD are even less. So as we ascend upwards to higher qualification, we expect less people to get there. So that is the sense in which bhakti or devotees are very, very rare. At the same time, we also see that Krishna says everybody can practice bhakti. It is open to everybody. So it's not confined to only those who have become jnanis or yogis or in sattva-guru, only they can do bhakti. And Krishna says, the women, Vaishya-sudras, Mlechas, Yavanas, Swapachas, they can also do bhakti. So, the qualification is not based upon a previous qualification in karma, jnana, etc. So then we can assume that it would not be so rare after all, because it is not subject to the same restrictions as jnana and whatever. And that is true. Though bhakti is above jnana and karma, etc., it does not necessarily mean there are less devotees or whatever, because the restrictions do not apply. That first you have to become a jnani and a yogi, then you can become a devotee, and maybe you get perfection or whatever. So, it's not rare in that sense, in terms of numbers. However, we find in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, the quality of bhakti, one of the qualities is sudurlabha. It is rare. So, of course, that applies to bhakti. It does not apply to sadhana bhakti. And of course, then we get prem bhakti, that is even rarer. So we can have many people doing sadhana bhakti, it is rare that people get to bhakti. And rarest that they get to bring bhakti, which is also natural, I think, just like the children in school and those who graduate from university with a PhD, these differences there, numbers. So, that means maybe they all fail, all the devotees fail, only a few get to the top and others don't. It cannot also mean that, because bhakti is eternal. And it doesn't get destroyed by normal processes, and it keeps accumulating. So then everyone should eventually become a devotee who starts devotion. That is also a principle. And therefore, in that sense, it's not rare again. But at any particular time, yes, we can see that the number of devotees who go from sadhana to bhava would be rare. And then those who get to prema would be rare. But ultimately, now, those devotees who do persevere in the process and continue the process, then they will also get prema eventually. So, therefore, rare has another meaning. That means it is not achieved by a normal process that is operating in other yogas, like karma yoga or jnana yoga. And that is ultimately the result depends on Krishna. It does not depend on your effort. And it is Krishna that awards bhava and prema. Not simply you do the activity and you get the result. So it depends on Krishna. Of course, we can also say that even the results of karma depend on Krishna. That is true. And the results of getting liberation also ultimately depends on the mercy of Krishna. However, for Krishna to give bhava, that is rare, because Krishna hesitates to give himself. Because if he gives bhava, then he gives himself to the devotee. So in that sense, it is rare. for the Lord to give himself to another person, he has to get to that level of bhava first. He will not give himself to everyone. He does not give himself to the karmis and the gyanis and the yogis or whatever. But he gives himself to those devotees who are qualified with bhava and prema. So, in that sense, it is rare because it's not a material process. It depends simply on the mercy of Krishna to get that advancement and to get that final perfection. And to do so, generally the devotees will have to go through different stages like Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti in order to get to Bhava. So, it is therefore surprising that Chitraketu was a great devotee. How is it possible? But if we examine closely, it is not so difficult to understand because we know the qualification of bhakti does not depend upon karma or body or whatnot. So great devotion may appear in unlike the people by the mercy of devotees and the Supreme Lord. So people who look like materialists may become great devotees, like King Rahugana got the mercy of Bharat, Jad Bharat. And then he became a great devotee, but he was a king and he was a materialist. Somehow he became a great devotee also. So, or Murghari the hunter, who was very low, came up to the level of bhava in 3 months by the mercy of Narada Muni. So we cannot think that, oh, he's a hunter, how could he have bhava? By the mercy of devotees in Krishna, this happened. So that, of course, is the power of bhakti, and bhakti attracts the Supreme Lord, and therefore anything becomes possible. So therefore it is said that even the outcast who partakes of bhakti immediately, he's better than a Brahmin. How is it possible? Because of Krishna. So Krishna makes all arrangements for such devotees. So, therefore, it is not so surprising after all. Nevertheless, Parikshit asks this question to Sukadeva Goswami. How is it possible he was a great devotee in the human body? So, of course, in this discussion we'll see that actually the body was only a covering and it did not impede or in any way detract from his devotion which he had accumulated in the previous lifetime. So in other words, bhakti is indestructible. And in spite of the curse or the karma that happens with the body, still the bhakti goes on and is preserved and is not decreased or destroyed. So that is the glory of bhakti. By sinful activities, one's position can be greatly affected in yoga or in jnana. We may have to start in a very low position, but we see in the case of getting lower bodies has no effect on devotion. So Bharat and his dear body still preserved his bhakti and it manifested again very nicely in his next lifetime. And here we see Vritrasura, that bhakti remained while he was a demon and then it manifested at the end of his life when he was killed again in a very nice form of a spiritual body in the spiritual world. So therefore, this shows how bhakti is very special. It is eternal. It's a spiritual thing, unaffected by the gunas. Huh? There's a devotee here this lifetime, not just pious acts. There's a devotee of the Lord. He even had darshan of Sankarshan, the Supreme Lord. He had instructions from the Supreme Lord himself. Of course, he also saw Shiva, but he also saw the Supreme Lord himself. So he was very advanced as a devotee to have darshan of the Lord. Huh? first, offense, I suppose. Well, there are symptoms described in the Nectar Devotion there. There's, I think, 13 qualities of a Bhakta. That's external symptoms in terms of it's always absorbed in hearing about Krishna, also when talking about Krishna, never wastes the things of material affairs, lives in the holy Dham, etc. So there's many characteristics there. Well, effort is required on the part of the devotee because Krishna doesn't show his mercy unless there's bhakti. Krishna is attracted to bhakti, then he shows more mercy. So therefore, the efforts in bhakti on the devotee's part have to be there also. But then Krishna's mercy must be there in all cases, which may manifest through devotees also. Well, it's not really mentioned one or the other what is necessary, but both are necessary. So, how do we measure quantum of mercy? Like a little bit of mercy of Krishna or more mercy of Krishna, how do we measure that? That is an arrangement of the Lord also, because by doing so, that devotee develops more longing for the Lord. Because of the obstacle, they develop more attraction for the Lord, and that purifies them further. Yeah, well, they're less advanced, and therefore they don't get the mercy of the Lord because of that. The process is simple. If one follows the process very exactly and doesn't commit aparadhas and whatever, then of course the progress is quick. Because we don't follow perfectly, because of aparadhas, etc., then it becomes a little slow. Nevertheless, the so-called slowness is only relative, because we see the jnanis may take, or yogis may take thousands of lifetimes to perfect themselves. So, in comparison to that, a few lifetimes is nothing. Preaching is an aspect of kirtan. Kirtan means to glorify the Lord. Yeah? So we have sankirtan, which means glorifying in a group. So we loudly chant the name of the Lord, and by doing so, other people get affected. So that preaching is part of that. So, of course, when we preach to people, that is glorifying the Lord also. So that is part of kirtan.
Most
And what goes to Ananya refers to one who's interested in not only personal development, but preaching to others and discussing with others. Whereas the Bhajana Nandi is more interested in his own development.
What's that, the
difference? There's no difference ultimately in the result, though it may be according to time that a person may be a Bhajana Nandi at the end of his life, because he retires and then goes off and just concentrates on his own. He may be a Goshti Nandi before that or whatever. But if one is only a Bhajana Nandi, then it may be a little more difficult because the preaching effort itself is a powerful means of getting the mercy of the Lord. So that also helps development. But according to inclination, people are different, so they may concentrate on their own sadhana more than on the preaching effort.
Mantra Sishramatam